Over the past 6 years, we've been in this Hebrew decade called Ayin. It's the 5770s in the Hebraic calendar, in the time since Abraham. In this decade, Holy Spirit has been honing and refining us so that in this coming year of 5777, we can emerge in our true identity as kingdom ambassadors. He has been preparing us, just like a butterfly in a cocoon is being prepared for the time that emerges and breaks forth into its true identity of what it was created to be. So tonight I'd want to talk with you about emerging and moving the kingdom of God forward. Father, we ask that you would show us who it is you have created us to be individually and collectively as a part of the body of Christ in this region, this state, this nation, and the nations of the earth. And we ask you to show us, Lord, how to emerge with the glory of the Lord on us so that we can be your ambassadors in the places you call us to go. Let's start by looking at three definitions for emerge. First is to move out or away from something and come into a view. To move out or away from something, like I just did from this pulpit that hides the speakers, and come into a view. And so part of our emerging is that thing that the Lord has been working deep inside of us is going to begin to emerge in these next 12 months so that in the years ahead, who he's created us to be will be clearly seen by those around us. The world is getting darker and the light in you is getting brighter. That's part of the emerging. The second definition is to become an apparent, important, or prominent. For the past four decades, the voice of the Bride of Christ, the church in the United States, has been hidden. It has not been important. It has not been prominent. It has not been evident. But that's about to change. Because the glory of the Lord is going to be so strong on his sons and daughters, especially in the next two generations, that it's going to be hard for people not to recognize the exploits that are being done by our sons and daughters in the natural, his sons and daughters in the spiritual. And all they have to do is interpret what it is that they've done. So they're going to emerge and become apparent, important, and prominent. I believe we're going to begin to see that in the next transition in our governments, both in the state and in the federal level, that the body of Christ is going to have a stronger voice than she's had in the past four decades. And the third definition of emerge is of facts or circumstances. So when it comes to facts or circumstances, they become known. To emerge is when facts and circumstances become known. The scripture says that which is hidden will become visible. That which is spoken in quiet and in secret will be shouted from the housetop. So facts and circumstances are going to become known. Those things that the enemy has used to keep you from your destiny, part of your emerging is they're going to be revealed so that you can step through those things that have held you back and move forward. One of the biblical examples of emerging, and probably the one that we recognize the most, I'm just going to give you the scriptures and not look them up, is found in John chapter 1, John chapter 2, John chapter 5, and John chapter 21. It's also found in Matthew 16, and it becomes very evident in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 10, and chapter 12. What we see here is a story of a fisherman named Simon, who comes and meets the Messiah, and in the first encounter, his true identity is revealed. His name is Cephas, which means Peter. But did Peter instantly emerge as the mighty man of God? I never knew him. I don't know what you're talking about. I never knew the man. See, we've been in that process for the past 6 years or more, where the Lord is putting his nature so deep in us, just like he did with the fisherman Simon, so that the disciple Cephas could become the apostle Peter and emerge as the person who made the way in obedience to the Holy Spirit for you and I as Gentiles to come into the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit's been working on each of us to bring us into our new identities as kingdom ambassadors, not just churchgoers, not just people who have a ticket to get into heaven, but ambassadors here on earth. And it is time for us to emerge to take the kingdom forward. One of the things that Holy Spirit is restoring to the body of Christ in this hour is apostolic centers. We did a whole series on those a couple years ago, and that's places around where he's equipping every believer to do the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the work of the kingdom of God. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and preach the good news of the gospel. Not just the person up front, not just the person on Saturday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whenever we gather, but every believer doing the work of the ministry of Christ. We have seen that this is where the saints were equipped to win the lost through power encounters with the forces of darkness. So since Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth, since the early biblical times, it was these places of training and equipping where the saints learned how to do the work of the ministry of the gospel of Christ. We saw that in the 600s and 700s in the British Isles, it was people like Patrick of Ireland, a Messianic Jewish shepherd boy who realized that Jesus was the Messiah, who started an apostolic center to train people. They had 24/7 worship for his entire lifetime. His main gift was raising the dead. The chronicles and the records in the libraries in England record that he raised 33 people from the dead. In his lifetime, Ireland, which was a pagan, druid-worshipping nation, completely converted to Christianity. And that's what the Lord is doing and what we've been seeing him do when we travel around the world and around the United States in the past 6 to 10 years. Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler outline many of the characteristics of the higher rule of the kingdom of God in their book, The Apostolic Church Arising. And what I'm going to do tonight is pull some of the points out of their book. There's 21 points I'm going to go through tonight on what we look for and what we are as ambassadors taking forward. We've said for a long time that we're called to a higher standard, and if you are in ministry, God is not fair. He's just. He has a double standard. If you are in ministry and you are teaching, the scripture says you will be held accountable to a higher level, which means if the teachers are, and they're third according to Paul in Corinthians, apostles, prophets, teachers, then all of the fivefold gifts, including evangelists and pastors, are being held to a higher standard because we're equipping the entire body of Christ to do the work of the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom. So here are some suggested things that we should be aware of as we emerge in these coming years as ambassadors in the kingdom of God. Number one, the kingdom of God has a government. So you may want to just write down the end because they're all going to begin with the kingdom of God. Many of you, well, I look around the room tonight, some of you remember the Jesus movement of the 1960s. We heard about that this morning at a meeting on transformation. If you remember the Jesus movement of the 1960s, you begin to see the importance of the government of the kingdom of God through this movement. There wasn't a government that governed the flow of the Spirit. In the 1960s, Holy Spirit brought multitudes into the kingdom. I remember in my high school, other high school students who had been impacted by the Holy Spirit in this movement would witness to me. I have the Bible that I was given by one of them on my shelf. But there was no government in place to secure the harvest, and many that came to the Lord in the Jesus movement fell away. It was really easy to come in, and because there was no government to help us mature in the work of the kingdom, many fell away. The same can be seen in the Finney revival that hit Rochester in the 1830s. The only city in North America that has only truly been transformed by revival. The brothels closed, the bars closed, the jails were empty because there was no crime. 95% of the city in the 1830s was born again, but there was no governmental structure of the kingdom of God to keep chaos from coming in and having its way. Though many came into the kingdom, much of that harvest was lost. Kingdom must have a supernatural government, and we must understand that Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord calls himself by that name at least 225 times in Scripture. He calls himself by that name more than any other, the Lord of hosts, the commander of heaven's armies, the commander of earth's armies. We also have to understand how Jehovah Nissi sends his government into war. The Lord, my banner. If we understand the character of our Father, Jehovah, then we begin to understand how he establishes government. Psalm says that our God is a man of war, and we are entering into a warfare time for the harvest. Number two, the kingdom of God is ruled by a king. We can't forget that our king has sovereign rule over his government. It's not a democracy. He doesn't get up in the morning, look over his kingdom and say to the apostles and to the saints in heaven and to the angels, okay, guys, what do you want to vote on today? What do you think I should do? He is sovereign. What he has ordained is done. He can promote you or he can sit you down on a shelf for a while if he wants. I experienced that 30 years ago when he asked us to stay in Rochester. I experienced the promotion 15 years later. It was not a promotion in the natural, it was a promotion in the spiritual, although there had been several promotions in the natural that came along. We submit to earthly rulers, but when we understand all authority structures, we can maneuver within the authority of our earthly rulers with our kingdom mantles on. In other words, you are first a citizen of heaven, and we understand the authority structure of heaven. We can move through the authority structures in the earth realm and impact every place we go for the kingdom of God. Number three. The kingdom of God has administration. That is not a dirty word. It is actually one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's one of the gifts that Father gives in Romans chapter 12. Kingdom administration is different from the church administration that we've all been accustomed to. Administration can be difficult to grasp, but it is vital for us to come into all that God wants. We must understand the church's role in the kingdom. You cannot express the kingdom of God by doing what Israel did at the end of the book of Judges. If you remember, it said in those days there was no king and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That is where the body of Christ has been in the United States of America for the last 10 years. People who refuse to discover their own places or positions in this season that we're about to enter cannot emerge and operate and the ultimate kingdom expression that God has ordained for you to walk in. If I don't know that I'm supposed to be a left thumb or a right thumb or a big toe or an eye in the kingdom, if I don't know where I'm supposed to be, I will be out of place and can't fulfill the destiny that Father has for me. That's one of the reasons why we bring in prophets to have presbytery over all of us, so that we can hear from Father confirming voices of what he's been speaking to us. Number four, the kingdom of God has a culture. If we conform to the cultures around us and never learn the culture of God's kingdom, we will fail. I'm not talking about church principles, practices, rules, and regulation. We have lived at a lower level than what God wants us to operate at. Jesus was not confined by the rules and religious regulations of his culture. He was liberated by the culture of the kingdom of God, and he could move within and around the culture structures that surrounded him. The culture of God's kingdom is higher than any of the cultures of the world. I've told you before that in our first time to Kenya, some Kenyan apostles, while I was speaking, got a hold of my passport. And they said, now he can't leave. We've got him. And I said, I have a passport that's higher than that. It belongs to the Father. And if he wants me to move, I won't need that passport. So they gave me back my passport. We have to understand the culture of the kingdom. Number five, the kingdom of God is good news. Have you ever been witnessed to by someone that looked like they were eating a grapefruit? And they're trying to tell you all about Jesus, and they can't even smile when they're doing it. The kingdom of God is in alignment with the one who is giving us access from the throne. The kingdom of God is being aligned with Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him in heavenly places. And he's giving us access to Father. That's good news. We get to see above and beyond all of the problems that confront us. He who died for us and overcame all the powers and principalities is now mediating for us to display his authority in the earth. It says that he is ever making intercession for us, the saints. That's a pretty powerful team, you and Jesus. He's talking to Father so that you can go do what Holy Spirit hears Father tell you to do. If we don't demonstrate God's rule in the earth realm, we are not being the ambassadors he's called us to be. We read in the scriptures a little bit of what Jesus did on the earth. He took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men and probably as many women and maybe three times as many children. That's the feeding of the 5,000. As we started the service tonight, a woman came up to him and touched the hem of his garment, and just because she touched the clothes he was wearing. But see, the disciples, the first century believers also, believe that God wanted the kingdom to be made manifest through them. And Peter's shadow, falling on the lame and the sick and the infirmed, healed them. He hasn't changed. Father hasn't changed. We just need to realize that we're supposed to be bringing the good news, which is the work of Jesus Christ. Because the kingdom of God requires a corporate response, our gifts must align and be ordered before certain demonic forces can be overcome. In other words, if I go out and try to do something in the city, people may get healed, but the spirit of death that hovers over Rochester and allows the murder rate to be so high won't move, because it's waiting for us collectively to move forward. And us collectively means more than just this fellowship. The Lord is beginning to do that. That's going to emerge even more in the next few months. Number six, the kingdom of God is connected through generations. Father is a generational God. He is always interested in the generations, even the generations yet to be born. Though the kingdom of God is within us, God is a tri-generational God, three generations. For a new generation to arise successfully, They must understand the history of where they have come and connect to the generations that come before and after them. In other words, my grandson needs to understand his dad, who needs to understand what the Lord's done in us, so that my great-grandchildren can be liberated to be who Christ created them to be, with what Father intended when he made Adam and Eve: exponential blessing from generation to generation to generation. Every generation would carry an exponentially greater blessing and anointing of the Lord. The same was true when the curse came into place. Exponential curse increased. And you can see that as the generations lived less and less and less of one day or 1,000 years. In our culture, young people are usually focused on establishing their own lives. I was there. I was very successful in doing that. I believe it cost the death of my first son to get my heart back right with the Lord. I know that that's what brought me back to the Lord. See, the danger is that these young generations can miss the kingdom authority they were supposed to be growing in and releasing to the next generations after them. One of the cries of my heart before the throne of grace is for the next 2 generations, and now it's 3 because I have grandchildren, to grasp the meaning of the kingdom of God. That at an early age, my grandchildren will understand what the kingdom of God is, so that they can move freely in it and not have to wait until they're 30-something before they see people healed and raised from the dead. Number 7, God's kingdom is not based on worldly patterns. He doesn't care about our church programs. See, this causes some people to be confused about salvation. I think more people are saved than we realize. We've got all these rules that if they do this and they do that, they can't be saved. I remember when I was hearing a Chinese businessman speak, and he was telling the testimony of how businessmen in China were coming in a communist nation to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when I told a group in the United States, they said, that can't be God. Why? Because this man invited them in the presence of the communist director of their city, who was coming to see, because this guy had been blown into the authorities for evangelizing. He invited these people to come, about 100 business people, to come to this dinner. He served them dinner, and after dinner they had wine and cigars. Automatically, that can't be God. And then he told them about his business partner, who gave him strategies that were so successful that it made him a multimillionaire. And at the end, he said, how many of you would like to meet my just business partner? His name is Jesus. And they all stood up, and he told them how to ask Jesus to be their business partner. Well, that can't be God. And the communist official, his military officials were saying, what about that? And he said, he's talking about business. He's not talking about religion. The truth is the truth. But many people I talked to say those people aren't saved. The church in China is radically on fire. They have a plan to go back the Silk Road, where the gospel first came to them, and win Israel for Christ. And they were told that they would be killed if they did that. And they said, we are being killed here at home doing nothing. We will go for Christ. Watch China in the next 13 and a half years. They have a saying in China, 30-30. 30% of China will be born again believers by 2030. There's already almost as many Christians in China as there are people in the United States. 1/3 of 1.7 billion, 30% of 1.7 billion is a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I did the calculation. It's more than all of Central and North America combined. They have a passion for the Lord. A heart for God does not equal expressing the kingdom of God in the earth. Well, I have a heart for God. I love to go to church and worship. That's good for me. Remember, we did communion starting in Jerusalem. That's good for Jerusalem, my heart. But it doesn't do anything for Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where we get out of the pew and into the world to take the kingdom forward. See, if you don't understand kingdom, you can become judgmental and critical as you see people who are striving to work out their own salvation and get themselves to the place where they can be ambassadors for Christ. Number 8, God's kingdom is beyond man's natural thoughts. The Bible says that the kingdom cannot be comprehended by our natural mind. I tried to analyze it as a chemist. When I first started coming back to the Lord and I first started loving Him, I tried to analyze every scripture to see how that worked out. I'm reading a book now about quantum glory. And this minister who understands quantum physics is working with quantum physicists who are born-again Christians to write how God created everything and prove that the scriptures have revealed what science is just now proving. And we've talked about different examples over and over again. My natural mind cannot comprehend the height, the breadth, and the depth of Father's love. You have to get the concept of kingdom from a supernatural dimension. It must be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So ask the Lord to bring you into a higher level of kingdom understanding this year. Number 9. The kingdom of God cannot be obtained by ambition. Do you remember the sons of thunder? James and John, that's what Jesus called them, the sons of thunder. They tried to do just that. Even their mother was ambitious. Jesus, let my boys sit at your right and your left hand. Do you remember that? See, that is not a good thing. Nor is it good when wives or husbands try to force their spouse into a more spiritual place. I am thankful that when Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, we were sharing our testimony with someone earlier this week, that He did everything together. He didn't let me run ahead of Casey and drag her. He even let me be sick so that she would have a desire to go to a meeting that I wanted to go to. And that was at the point we both surrendered and went and got filled with the Holy Spirit. Too many of us try to force people into the gift that is free, that my heart has to be open to accept. See, ambition is a mean demon. See, this is what Judas Iscariot had. He was ambitious for the kingdom, but he missed the kingdom, and it ended up in his destruction. Number 10, the kingdom of God should never be postponed. Well, I'll wait until I'm out of graduate school. Well, I'll wait until I retire. Well, I'll wait until after the football game. When God is ready, He will move. However, the culture shock between moving from one kingdom to the other can get you into a mess. We've been there. We have to ask the Lord to keep us abreast of the way that He is moving and learn how to represent the kingdom properly. If you remember years ago, we said, as a body, His presence is more important than programs. His presence is more important than getting someplace. And we won't move without His presence. Number 11. The kingdom of God has provision. Kingdom supply structures will be one of the greatest shifts that we see over the next 10 years. And we have to understand the shifts that are going to take place in the economies of the world so that we can take the kingdom of God forward. He is going to make opportunities as he changes all of these things that we've grown accustomed to. He's giving witty inventions and ideas to men and women that will change how people are fed, where we get our energy, and all of the things that we've grown up accustomed to and built structures around. People who get paralyzed by the old paradigms are going to miss the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God in a big way. As we put on Christ daily, as Paul exhorts us in Romans 13:14, we will have the garments or the mantles that we need for the work that's set before us. Let me review for you what a mantle is. A, it's a something that covers. We put on a mantle. The Lord is mantling us with glory. That's what we were covered with in Adam and Eve in the garden. They were mantled with the glory of the Lord and they could do anything. Number two, a mantle represents an identity or important role that passes from one to another. If you remember, it was Elijah's mantle that came to Elisha, and he had a double portion of it. It was the identity as the lead prophet of the nation that amplified when it passed to the next generation. And third, a mantle is a gift or special authority that one wears to accomplish their destiny and purpose. And so we have mantles that the Lord is giving us. We are going to emerge in those new mantles so that we can achieve the destiny that He created us for. Number 12, the kingdom of God has a territory. To establish the kingdom of God in any territory, you must first develop the presence of God. That's what worship is all about. He inhabits our praises. His presence comes. See, that is why David's kingdom, which operated around the Ark of the Covenant, came the closest to reflecting a pattern of heaven of any kingdom that we see in the Scripture or any kingdom since. God's presence was established in the tabernacle of David because God was enthroned on the praises of Israel. If you place church above kingdom, you will develop a gathering structure. And that will become your priority. Churches end up being program driven to meet the needs of the people that are gathered in. You will not be driven by God's presence. Eventually, people will move to another place because they still need the presence of God. Programs will get you so far. You need more of the presence of God to succeed. Number 13, the kingdom of God has an atmosphere. Unless God's presence is established, we can't move forward. Beginning with God's presence is more difficult. It's a lot easier to take a plan, like the plans I used to work for my business, and say, here's what we're going to do, let's go execute the plan. See, if I'm going to try and start with God's presence, it's more difficult because it cannot be understood from the world's perspective. Until recently, I thought, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, was for you and me. But if I read it in its original language, it says, for God so loved the cosmos. The Greek word means all created things, including man. He so loved everything he created. See, that's his kingdom perspective, that he gave Jesus to bring us all and it all back into right order. The world understands gathering to meet people's needs. The church is very good at that. The church is also very good at that in times of great turmoil, like when Hurricane Sandy hit. FEMA set up their rescue stations and control places 9 miles from where it was needed. And they expected the people who had no fuel, no anything, to come get it. But the body of Christ, the church in that region, took everything right in to the places where it was needed. You didn't hear about that on the media. You heard that FEMA was meeting the need. God met the need through his servants that were yielded to him. A church can look not much different from the world, gathering for fellowship, enjoying each other, and meeting people, all good things. Church is a German word. It means good fellowship. It's a good thing. But if you are presence-driven, meeting needs is not your driving motivation. See, this is a key for the seven mountains of human society that we've talked about. We move from God's kingdom, which are over all of the seven mountains, into those structures of the world so that we can influence each of them for the King of Kings. The kingdom of God has an atmosphere. Number 14, the kingdom of God has prophets. God ordains people to represent him in every aspect of his authority. David had recorders and scribes, and so do we. Every one of our services is recorded. We so value prophecy that if there is a prophetic word released, it is transcribed, reviewed by the pastoral leadership, and then distributed either to the entire body or to those who it's from. Same thing with our presbyteries. We believe when the Lord speaks, we need to clearly listen. And when there's agreement that this is the word of the Lord, then we need to ask the Lord, how are you going to implement it? Every one of our regional assemblies, when we have nights of prophetic worship and intercession, is recorded so that when the Lord speaks to us as a region, we can send that word out and those who have ears to hear can ask the Lord how to walk in it. That's why we encourage you also to write down your dreams when Holy Spirit is speaking to you in the night watches so that you can hear and understand what he's saying. And when he gives you visions in the day watches, that you can hear and understand what he's saying to you and to the body of Christ. Number 15, the kingdom of God has war units. God's kingdom people war against demonic forces. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. There's a difference between kingdom and our traditional concept of church. You can go to church without ever going to war. And you can have great fellowship, but people will never war with them. So I can have great fellowship with y'all if I'm just in a church mode, but I'll never go to war. And most of the body of Christ in North America doesn't know how to go to war against the forces of darkness. If God calls us to war during one of the watches of the night, and we used to teach this extensively, what happens in each watch. We used to go once a month to a different church around the region and teach through the watches of the night so that people would understand if the Lord wakes you at 2 o'clock in the morning, what is happening in the spiritual realm? If he wakes you at 11:30 at night, what is happening? If he wakes you at 5 o'clock in the morning, what is happening? So you can enter into what the Lord is doing and not just, oh, why did I ever get up, turn off my alarm clock and go back to sleep. See, the people who enter into this level of warfare are powerful intercessors. They're a military unit that the Lord is raising up, meeting with God to gain strategy and overcome the enemy, not just for their local congregation, but for the region. The battle is always for who will you worship? And how will we get the harvest? Number 16, the kingdom of God has gatekeepers. Some gatekeepers can be challenging. They take their job seriously. Well, you don't have the right clothes on to come into this meeting. I don't think Jesus ever had that problem. But see, that is the function of a gatekeeper. If that gate is closed to someone who has pink shoes on, then they don't let anyone with pink shoes come through. Yes, I'm being silly. If this gate is forbidden for darkness to come through, then as gatekeepers, we have the spiritual authority to tell darkness it can't come through that gate. By the way, there are four gates to every place where you live. There are 12, actually, but there's four main ones: north, south, east, and west. Not the four corners of your property, the four gates: the north gate, the south gate, the east gate, and the west gate. Don't have time to get into that. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 16 about the gates of hell by binding, forbidding, or permitting. We have the right to forbid and permit things to come in and out of the gates that have been entrusted unto us. This is how we exercise authority when the Lord is executing his kingdom plans in the earth. In 2006, the Seneca, who are the keepers of the Western Gate in the Iroquois Confederacy, invited Casey and I to be keepers of the Western Gate with them in this land. We stand with them as keepers of that Western Gate. This past Tuesday, we were part of a team that went out to do warfare of some things that happened in the 1600s and allowed bloodshed to come on our land as keepers of the Western Gate. Number 17. The kingdom of God has treasures. We like that one. The greatest warfare is in the treasury. Mammon is one of the greatest forces. He's Baal's treasurer. One of the greatest forces that we will fight. Therefore, we establish those who can serve as treasurers. We identify those people who are responsible with finances, who are accountable to handle those so that they can stand with us and for us against the darkness. See, they have to understand and be accountable for key information and resources. A treasurer does more than just count money and write reports. If you study about Mammon, you understand what that evil force does. Number 18. The kingdom of God has music and sound. You all know me. I very much enjoy passion and worship, especially demonstrative dance, demonstration and dance. But at times, the dance has to represent an order. The flags have to represent an order. Just as tongues and interpretation go together, so when there's a prophetic act with flags or with dance, sometimes, if it's not a choreographed thing that everyone can understand of the music, it has to be interpreted so that everyone can hear what it is that the Lord is saying. The sound of the flags, the color of the flags, the way that the flags are moving, all prophetically say something. Don't have time to get into all that, but most of you know that from being around us. If sound and dance are not interpreted, then there is something lacking in the demonstration of the kingdom of God. There is a sound that is being released from heaven that will release the song of the Lord in you that will cause you to dance before the Lord. We'll get into that in another meeting. Number 19. The kingdom of God has people who serve as the priests just like the Levites did. The kingdom of God is people who serve as priests, just like the Levites did. See, if it were not for the Levites, the sanctuary would not have been cared for. This body needs a little more Levitical Levite structure. Because if we're going to have an apostolic center, then we need to be able to care for what the Lord entrusts to us. It's called stewardship. This will be especially true when that entire apostolic center gathers for equipping the saints. And you've been at some of the meetings where we've had 150, 180 people here, and more people are required to serve the meals than just the ones that normally do. Just as in the Old Testament, God makes sure the Levites are properly cared for. He provides for everyone that has yielded themselves to work in his kingdom. When God's kingdom rules, when It is the authoritative structure. You don't have to worry about whether you are going to be taken care of. Number 20. God has chief ministers. You are all ministers. We have been saying that for the past 10 years. You are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you were called out of darkness to be. I'm thankful for the chief ministers that Holy Spirit has established at Shepherd's Heart. Ron and Lisa and Casey are the chief ministers. They're not only do they minister, but they help each of us to minister effectively. Ron was a man's man. Ron was a pastor's pastor. He would love men to the place where they would open up and begin to walk in what Holy Spirit called them to do. That is a minister liberating ministers. Lisa and Casey do the same thing. I'm a little more prophetic and apostolic. And sheep beget sheep. Pastors beget pastors, and so forth. But because they are who they are, it liberates me to be who God has called me to be and to travel to the places the Lord has called us to travel to. Therefore, I can fulfill the destiny on my life just as they can fulfill the destiny on theirs. And number 21, the kingdom of God has power. See, a new power and anointing is being infused from heaven into those believers who will represent the kingdom of God in the earth. You don't have to go on yesterday's anointing. At sunset, we started a new Hebraic day. You don't have to go on the anointing you had this morning because resting in His presence gives you a new manifestation of His presence and power to go into this new day. This power produces demonstration and causes manifestations of glory. He wants you to believe that when you lay your hands on someone, they will recover. When you speak the word to someone, it will return to Father victorious, fulfilling the purpose that He asked you to speak it. There will be increasing displays of power encounters with darkness in the days ahead. And those who are kingdom-minded with hearts yielded to Christ will do wonders that bring glory to Jesus. That's where we're entered into. That's what we're going into in this next year. Is a battle with the darkness. It's not against flesh and blood. He loves the New Agers. He loves the witches. He loves the warlocks. He loves the Satanists. He loves me. Just as we were, but the demonic things that used to drive me and drive them in rebellion and lawlessness against God, can't stand up to the Spirit of the Most High God who dwells in you, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. We are moving into new manifestations of the kingdom of God on earth, and it is time to shift. Just as Peter shifted from one of those who was ashamed to admit that he knew Jesus, to one who was filled to overflowing with the abiding presence of glory, you too can be an ambassador. Emerge as an ambassador covered with glory, just as Jesus created you to be. The question that remains is, will you emerge and move the kingdom of God forward? If that is your passion, then I want to pray for you. If you want to be the ambassador that Father's created you to be, stand on your feet. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the power of your Spirit. Father, these are your sons and daughters, uniquely created by you for such a time as this, to fulfill a specific role for the destiny of our nation and the nations of the earth. Lord, I ask tonight that you would give them a new mantle of your glory. Lord, that they would emerge from 5776 into this year of Ion Zion, the year of the sword, with a mantle of glory with which they can handle your word with accuracy and integrity. That when they handle the sword of the Spirit, those around them will be touched by your Spirit, liberated from darkness, and released to fulfill your destiny for their lives. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you not only mantle them, but you have given them the full armor of your Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you would show them how to use each piece every day more precisely, that it would take less energy and reap greater harvest for you. Lord, here are your sons and daughters. Jehovah Sabaoth, these are part of your army in the earth. And I say tonight, let the increase of your glory come upon them from day to day to day until Jesus returns. Amen and amen.